We continue the shiur in Gemara. Gemara says Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak got together frequently. Rav Nachman would visit Rav Yitzchak, who was apparently an older rabbi, and generally the conversation consisted of questions by Rav Nachman to Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak respected Rav Nachman very much. We find in the Gemara where he gave him a bracha, special blessing. He said, the only blessing I can give you is that your children should be like you, because you have everything. You have Torah, you have position. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi. You have wealth, power. So I give you the bracha that you should have children like you. And of course, it's understood that the younger one comes to the older one for a bracha. Rav Nachman came to Yitzchak for with questions that he'd like to have answered. We come now to one of those questions. The question Rav Nachman posed to Rav Yitzchak was as follows: have you heard when is Bar Nafli coming? Have you heard when he is coming? Now, there was no direct question, tell me when Bar Nafli is coming. He just said, have you heard when he is coming? Rav Yitzchak replied, who is Bar Nafli? And Rav Nachman said, Moshiach. Rav Yitzchak said, you call him Bar Nafli? Rav Nachman said, yes, I do, because there is a pasuk in Navi which implies that Moshiach should be called Bar Nafli. Now the question was again, when is Bar Nafli, meaning Moshiach, coming? Let's understand first, before we get to Rav Nachman's answer, why is Moshiach called Bar Nafli? The obvious fact is, a simple fact, let's say, Bar Nafli is Begimetria Ben Yishai, exactly. And David, Moshiach, are about the same, generally. Bar Nafli means the fallen one, the one who has fallen. Now, we speak about the coming of Moshiach as the Geula, as the rise, the return of the Jews once and for all to their rightful status as the leading nation on earth, time when there will be peace throughout the world, time when the Jews will live as the leaders spiritually guide to all, when there will be no more wars and no more physical problems whatsoever. In order for the world to achieve a height like this, there must be first a drop. Before any aliyah, before any ascent, there must be a yirida, a descent. There must be a nefila before an aliyah. So therefore, Mashiach's coming represents the aliyah, the greatest rise possible. Now, that's why he is called to Bar Nafli, because there must be the nefila, the fall, and that represents, of course, the ikus of the Mashiach. The Chevle Mashiach, the suffering in the generation when Mashiach comes. He will not come at a time when there will be happiness. There will be suffering that will preface, that will herald his coming. That's why it's called Bar Nafli. We find always that before great light there's always darkness. The Torah itself teaches us that. In the days of creation we find that darkness came before light. Every day it says, Vahi Erev, Vahi Veker. There was first evening, there was first dark, then came the light of morning. So before we can have this light of morning, which represents the Geula, there must be this darkness, this extreme darkness, from which will emerge Bar Nafli, the fallen one, Moshiach, will be elevated and bring up with him the entire Klal Yisrael. Second reason for being called Bar Nafli is Nafel means a stillborn child. Case of a miscarriage, chas v'shalom, a woman gives birth to a nephil, stillborn child. And Bar Nafli, Nafli is plural, twice stillborn, twice dead. This Bar Nafli, he was note, the third one, the descendant of two prior to him, the descendant of Adam, descendant of David. As we know, the Rizal tells us, the Zohar Kodesh mentions that Adam was named Adam, one of the reasons because it stands for Adam, David Mashiach, Aleph Dalet Mem. Actually, it is one. That's the reason why Adam gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech, because it was himself that he was feeding this to. Now, Adam himself was considered a nathal, stillborn child, because he was told the day that you will eat from this tree of wisdom, you will die. He was born on Friday, and in a sense, he died on Friday. He died that same day. The fact that he was driven out of Gan Eden down to earth, where there is death, this is considered, in a sense, death. David HaMelech, too, was born as a Nephil, which means he was born without any life. His neshama was dark. He had no life of his own. He had to be granted life by Adam HaRishon. Subsequently, these 70 years had to be supplemented, made up by the Aves HaKadosh. Hence, Moshiach is Barnafli, the son of these two, the descendant, derivation of these two Nephilim, Adam and Adam HaRishon and David HaMelech. Now, the reply of Rav Nachman to Rav Yitzchak was, when he asked him, why do you call him Barnafli? He said, because there is a pasuk. Pasuk in the Torah, the Navi says, Bayim Hahu, that day, a day will come, Akim, I will raise up the Sukkas David HaNephilis, a fallen Sukkah of David HaMelech. Because he's represented, meanwhile, as the fallen one, the fallen Sukkah, therefore he is called Barnafli. Then he will have a tekuma, the elevated, set up again. A fallen Sukkah of David means a kingdom of David HaMelech. Now generally, we speak about a kingdom, we speak about base, a house of. Each king is called a house of this kingdom. A bayis is something that is more solid, more concrete than a sukkah, which is temporary. Why would we call the house, a malchus, David HaMelech, a sukkah, rather than a bayis, something more substantial? Well, there should be the other way around. The other kingdom should be called sukkah because they like straw, they're a gun. Whereas David HaMelech is one that is permanent, eternal. The answer is he is called Sukkas David because a bayis is something material, it's earthly. A house is a house on earth. A sukkah is something heavenly. The original sukkah, the Gemara says, comes from the clouds. Anone Kovid, the clouds which represented the Shekhinah that hovered above the Jews in the desert. Therefore we had the law, the mitzvah of sukkah. And therefore sukkah means something heavenly. What is heavenly? What is perfection of the heavenly kingdom? Hoya Hashem l'melech. I'll call Horus. Hashem echad u'shmei echad. Hashem and his name will be one. Hashem is Shem Havayi, Yudkei Vavkei, Kutcha Benichru. His name is the name we pronounce, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. These two combined as one, that is the Malchus of heaven. Below, David HaMelech too has the same Malchus. It is called Sukkah, because Sukkah is the letters Samach Hei on the outside, which is Begimatria, the Shem Aleph Dalet. In the middle you have the letters Chaf Vav, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Of course, Hashem Beheichal Kodshoi, the Pasuk says, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei Beheichal Kodshoi is in the Heichal. What is the house Kaviyachal of Hashem? The Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Heichal Begimatria too, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Therefore we have the Shem Chafav within the letters Samachay and the word Sukkah to show that this is the perfect kingdom. That's why it's called Sukkas David. But Emu Okim Sukkas David and Nephilis, Hashem says, I will raise up this Sukkas David which is fallen. There's been a separation. But at that time when there'll be a unity in heaven, there will also be a unity below the kingdom of David and Melech. Moshiach will be perfect. We have still not answered the question. Now we first have the question. Question was, Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, have you heard when Moshiach is coming? Rabbi Yitzchak replied, I have information from Rabbi Yochanan that the date we could not say, but we could give you a very strong hint. A person can recognize the imminent coming of Mashiach. He can recognize when it is about to occur, the generation in which Mashiach will come. At that time, there will be a very strong decrease, a lessening of Talmidei Chachamim, of learned people, learned rabbis, of tzaddikim. There will be a very strong decrease in that. And that, of course, is because the troubles that will befall the Jews then, the wars that will take place, and Hashem removes the tzaddikim, they should not have to see, to witness this sadness. The rest of the Jews be left without their spiritual leaders. Their eyes will become tired, fatigued, looking, hoping. The continuous letdown and looking forward for the end to the tragedy, the suffering, the multitude of harsh decrees, one after the other. At that point, when it will reach the darkest moment, that is when Mashiach will come. Now, of course, that's not very encouraging. The Gemara says further, this is one point. This is not the only means of recognizing the time of Mashiach's coming. The Gemara says, let's give a more detailed description of the era, not just that one generation. The entire calendar, that is, all of time, is divided into Shemitahs and Yevlis, which means that every 7 years is called a Shemitah. The seventh year is the year of Shemitah. The 7 years are part of this Shemitah. Just like Sunday is the first day of Shabbos, Yom Echad B'Shabbos, Monday, Sheni B'Shabbos, that's how, too, the years, too, first year of Shemitah, corresponding to Sunday, the second year of Shemitah. And then we have Yevel, which means that we have 7 years become one unit. You have seven Shemitahs till you get to Yevel. So the year of Shemitah is like the Shabbos of the 7 years. The year of Yevel is the Shabbos year of the seven times seven. The Gemara says that we'll give you a picture of the 7 years that will precede the coming of David HaMelech. Then you get a clearer knowledge, a clearer view, a better perspective to know exactly when to expect David HaMelech. The 7 years that precede his coming, the first one of those 7 years, then there will be rain intermittently in certain spots. It will rain in one place and a drought in the other place, which means there will be food plentifully in one spot, and other spots will suffer hunger. That's the first year, the first sign. The second year, there'll be a decrease in this rain, a much less rain throughout, which means all places will begin to suffer hunger to a degree. There'll be a shortage of food. This will be the sign leading up to the coming of Mashiach. Third year, there'll be an actual famine throughout, everywhere. In this famine, many people will die, and the worst of the results will be that the Torah will be forgotten to a great degree, not completely, but to a great degree, because we know that the yeshivas, those who study in the yeshivas, kollel, study all day, they are the ones that truly support the world. The Torah tells us that if not for the study of Torah, the world would cease to exist. So it's those few poor Talmidei Chachamim who sit and study Torah all day who actually are keeping this world going. And those few must rely on the contributions of the many, the vast, wealthy communities to give them their pittance, their piece of bread. Once there is famine throughout the world, naturally the first ones to be cut off the stipend would be the yeshivas. Hence, they would have to leave their study to go out to seek forage for food, and then the Torah would be forgotten to a degree. So you have, on the third year, both a famine plus the Torah being deserted and forgotten. The fourth year will revert to a slight change, an improvement, where food will begin to grow once more, and there'll be a semi-prosperity. Fifth year, there'll be a lot of food growing, a big prosperity. Above all, the Torah will return once more, the yeshivas will become filled. The sixth year will be famous, outstanding for the fact it will be filled with rumors flying everywhere that Moshiach is coming. And after this year will end, the seventh year will be a year of wars, actual wars and battles between the Jews and the countries of the world, throughout the world. Countries of the world will turn against the Jews in battle. At the end of this seventh year, at the very end, just as the seventh year comes to a close, Mashiach will appear. The Gemara asks, but we've had a number of seven-year cycles like this. We've had famines, prosperities on and off, this type of cycles. The Gemara answers, you may have had these cycles, but you never had the actually in this exact order. Sixth year was especially outstanding for the rumors of Mashiach's coming, the seventh year war. You never had it in this exact order. The Gemara says, well, let's take a still clearer picture of what the time will be like when Mashiach is about to come. The Gemara tells us that the first thing that will happen, and here we ask you to note that if we were taking a report of today's society, today's world, today's countries, cities, towns, and streets, and schools, you would find that you will have here a perfect committee report on what's going on today. It'd be unbelievable that this could actually come to pass so exactly. It's a perfect description. 50 years ago, no one would have believed this could happen. And yet the Gemara gives us this description. First rule, first sign that this is the generation, the time of Mashiach's coming, and these, of course, are all bad signs, unhappy ones. First sign is that there will be permissiveness, illegal communication between the male and females of all types. This refers to pornography and all the evils that go with it. There'll be a sudden downtrend in morals. This, of course, requires no further discussion because there never has been in America or in the entire world such a shattering of the morals in this respect. Second thing is that the wisdom of Torah will become, to a degree, despised. It will be ignored and despised, which means there will be no respect for those who study Torah, those who possess the knowledge. In fact, those who are religious, those who fear sin, will be hated, will be mocked, will be jeered, will be ridiculed as fanatics. At a time like this, when there is so much permissiveness, how can a person get along in a society with a sense of purity? Puritan type of nature does not fit in this society, and therefore they are disliked, they are hated, and they are shunned. The face of the generation will be the face of a dog. The face, of course, means the leaders, the pnei, the leaders of the generation, those who head the establishment, those who head the politics, those who head the society. They'll be like a dog in a sense, meaning that there will be no respect. A dog is called an asponim. Arrogance, disrespect for authority, disrespect for truth, disrespect for holiness, or for anything that is true sense of morals, principles. Also, of course, there is a saying that those who are very miserly when it comes to feeding the poor, they are called a cheap dog. Many places we find that term, so we can see where in I sense the need these people's parts to help the poor, to give charity in the right places, will be the response of a dog. They give, of course, very much for political reasons, for social reasons, for the wrong type of causes. Money flows wildly. Liberal causes, there is a flow of billions, but not a cent for the good ones. At a time like this, when there are so many billions going out for welfare and so on, there is nothing going for yeshivas. The yeshivas are starving, and Eretz Yisrael especially, we see the difficulty that they have in just the living expenses alone. Therefore, this refers to the Panei. The leaders of the generation will be like dogs in this respect, inconsiderate, disregard the true needs of their people. Above all, the truth will be completely hidden. It will be a generation of lies. Lies to such extent that the lies will eradicate truth completely. This is something that would be inconceivable, and yet we see it with our eyes now. There never has been a time like today when the king of society is the big lie. Today we have those people who advocated, who worked so hard for a change in educational system, worked hard for the community boards to take over the Board of Education. And all for what reason? They said it's for our youth. We want the education of our youth. To this day, they will still maintain that they have improved the educational system, when in fact, years ago, before this, there never was a problem in any of the schools. Today, just now, we have a definite report, a factual report, that over 200 murders have taken place in the schools. 70,000 teachers were assaulted. 70,000 teachers were assaulted and beaten up in the schools. And the vandalism is bigger than the United States debt was years ago. This is something that boggles the imagination. And what is worse is, the same people live the big lie and say that they have improved the educational system. Despite these facts, this lie goes on and on. When the big lie is fed to the people by the liberals, that we must uphold the Constitution. Nothing should stop us from living up to the First Amendment, which means the rights of an individual are not to be questioned and must be enforced. Which individual? The criminals. Who is to suffer because of this First Amendment? A poor, honest civilian who wants to live a life of peace suffers because of what? Because of the United States Constitution. And this big lie is fed constantly, and they refuse to accept the natural truth. This is the lie that has overpowered not just the lower echelons, but the highest politicians, the highest office, including the Supreme Court. And this is the government of the United States today, governed by the people, for the people, all living this big lie. This big lie has spread to the world, because we still have the world feeding itself the big lie that all must unite against the common aggressor. There is one villainous country who is endangering the existence of all countries on earth. Israel, the aggressor, who attacked without conscience, attacked its peaceful, kindly neighbors, who sought nothing but peace and goodwill with the neighboring country Israel. Israel is the aggressor. This lie was spoon-fed for days, months, years, and to this day, every country in the world has accepted this as their guiding step in dealing diplomatically with each other and with Israel. So that today Israel is accepted as the aggressor, as the common enemy of the world, of the United Nations. This lie, when a child could understand differently, and yet these people, these leaders of nations, kings, royalty, heads of nations and entire countries throughout the entire world have united to live this big lie. And this is exactly what the Gemara tells us, that the emes, the truth, will be hidden bit by bit till it is just about gone. The world will live with these lies. This will be the sign that Mashiach is to come, because a time like this, the world itself cannot exist anymore. The world must come to an end with so many lies, which is the opposite of the true meaning of Hashem's name, which is truth. In addition, the Gemara says that those few who are good, who are pure, who are honest, the few outstanding ones, will be so ridiculed that they will be regarded literally as people who are insane. You get a few people today who see the truth, they'll be regarded as insane, no matter who it is. A person, let's say, who recognizes the danger of the Russians, recognizes the danger of the cancer in America, whether his name is Rabbi Meir Kahane, or whether he's one of the religious Jews who sees the establishment, the conservative and reform Jews, as destroying that one little seed that is left in America, they will be frowned upon, they will be attacked, and they'll be the ones reclining in these so-called luxurious prisons in America. The establishment will continue on living that same lie because of the claim that this person who is honest and pure is a shaiter, he is a fool, he is insane. And about this, the Gemara says a person should be zeche, to be called a fool all his life, but not to be called a rasha, evil, for one moment before Hashem. This is the type of life that we will see. We never believed this was possible. We would say that Mashiach just couldn't come, because you'll never see a generation like this. And yet we were zeche, we had the great privilege of living in this era, in this age. Note too how quickly the world became corrupt. It did not take hundreds of years for the world to deteriorate. It got to this corrupt stage in lightning-like speed. Just a few years, this cancerous disease spread not just in New York City, but throughout the United States and throughout the world. It leaked the oceans. There were no barriers for this disease. So we have a country, a hemisphere, a world, a planet filled with evil and lies that could put the evil of Stamen Amida to shame. The Gemara says, let's deviate for a moment. Speaking about lies, speaking about truth, the Gemara says, let's see the importance of truth as compared to Sheker. We know, of course, that emes is much more difficult to attain than Sheker. Sheker itself, the three letters of Sheker are three successive letters in the alphabet. Shin, Kuf, Resh are three letters that follow each other. The word emes is difficult because they are the furthest letters apart. The aleph, the first letter in the alphabet, the mem, the middle letter, and the tough, the last letter. And that's why there is much more sheker prevalent than emes. It's much more difficult to find emes. You've got to travel much further to find the truth. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis, the Gemara, said, at first I thought we cannot find real truth in this world. Of course, previous days, generations, people did speak the truth and live the truth. But real truth means that a person is honest all of his life. He will never permit a word of falsehood or an act that is untrue to be committed by himself. This, the Gemara says, was expected, was thought to be non-existent. Till one rabbi said to, this was Rava who said this, one rabbi said to Rava, his name was Rav Tanvumi, who said to him that if I was given all the treasures in the world, bar none, fill the entire world with treasures, give me all these treasures, I would not change my word. If I gave my word, I would not change it. I would keep my word, which means that if I said something, it is the truth and it cannot be altered. Which means, of course, that if he discussed a certain business deal with someone and agreed to it, and then he was offered by a competitor as much, 10 times as much, 1,000 times as much, it would not faze him. He would not alter his word. This was his degree of honesty. He told a story that one time he came to a city called Kushto. Kushto is the Aramaic, the Gemara word for emes, truth. This city was in Eretz Yisrael and very unusual. No one in that city ever told a lie. No one in that city ever died before the time. Everyone in that city lived to a ripe old age. Never did it occur that a person should die young. After he moved to that city, he felt that this is just a place for himself. He married a woman from that city, and he had 2 sons, 2 children. He lived there very peacefully. They got along nicely. 2 small children. One day, his wife was busy combing her hair, and so there was a knock on the door. A neighbor came to the door and asked for his wife, and he replied, it was embarrassing to say she's combing her hair because it means he had seen it. That type of talk was something that's very private. He couldn't mention a word like that, something personal. Imagine what degree of principles existed then. He couldn't mention the word that his wife was combing her hair. To mention the word hair, combing, it's too personal an item. So in order to expedite ease matters, he said, she's not home. Meaning, well, his intentions were pure. Intentions were for the sake of Kedusha. Immediately afterwards, his 2 small children died. People of the city came to him. Instead of consoling him, 2 small children die, that's a major tragedy. They said to him, what happened? Something happened here. You must have told a lie. Otherwise, your children would not have died. And he replied, what happened was, I did it for a good reason. And they said, we beg you, please leave. Move to a different city. We don't want you to be the cause of inviting the angel of death to our city. He was forced to move. We're discussing now, speaking about Rav Tanvumi, person who said he would never lie for all the treasures on earth. What is so special about truth? As we said, Hashem's name is truth. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And since Hashem is the eternal one, everlasting, representing eternal life, therefore, truth represents life, and sheker, false, represents death. Hashem created the world with truth. First 3 words of the Torah, Bereishis, Bara, Elokim. Those first 3 words, last letters, have the 3 letters of Aleph, Mem, Tov, Emes in there. It goes still further. The Zohar Kodesh says, if you don't want that, stop Bereishis in the beginning. What happened in the beginning? Bara, Elokim, Es. You have the 3 letters in order, Aleph, Mem, Tov. And then you have the completion of the 6 days of creation. Asher, Bora, Elokim, La'asais. The last 3 words in the story of creation, Bora, Elokim, La'asais. Again, you have Emes. And as the Shilah Kodesh says too, you have Ayar, Elokim, Eis, Kol, Asher, Oso. Ayar Elokim Es. Hashem saw. Kol Asher saw required the 3 letters, and those 3 words. Yaralikim is emes. The word emes. Minei toiv miyod. Toiv miyod is very good. Miod is the letters odom. That when is toiv miyod? When will that odom be good? When he will live with this truth. A good meaning he'll be saved, rescued from this angel of death. And therefore the city of Kushto was one that did not suffer from the evils of death at an early age, so that it was granted extra long life. The Gemara says, let's go back to the sad description of the generation, the time, the days, the months, just prior to Mashiach's coming. Again, we find, we've had this before, the Gemara Seita speaks about this too, same items. The Gemara says we can recognize more closely the signs. We've already had enough about the type of society. We have additional signs too, the evils of society. First, the Gemara says there will be a degree of arrogance and disrespect. First thing that will happen, the youth will disrespect their elders. Where have we ever seen a time when youth rebelled to this extent? Today, the students in schools are the ones to select the teachers and principals. They are the ones who want the authority. They are the ones who cannot be spoken to. They are the ones who decide or make the decisions. And of course, in this time of lies, the false leaders, the heads of government, acquiesce. They bow to the demands of these students who are so filled with arrogance and disdain for their elders. The time comes when the elders stand up before the youth. You see this many times on the subways. A gang of youthful rowdies come into a subway car. The elders get up and leave quickly. They give them their seats gladly to escape them. The time when a daughter will speak disrespectfully to her mother, when a daughter-in-law will speak disrespectfully to her mother-in-law openly, time when a son will not be embarrassed to openly rebel against his father. General conditions, the Gemara says, will be a time of arrogance, a time of az punim, complete breakdown of respect and discipline. As far as prices will go, there will be an inflation that will strike very heavily, very strong inflation. Prices will skyrocket. And what is outstanding, price, the final price, everything will go up. Final item to go up will be the last straw, will be wine. Price of wine will rise. That's the last straw. And the entire kingdom, which means the leaders of the kingdom, the leaders of the countries, the leaders of society, will convert to apikorsis, atheism. They will stop believing in Hashem. They will not accept any reprimands, any musar, any words of wisdom, teachings from their wise, from the wise ones. They will disregard anything that is pure from the Torah, and they will live this life of crime, of impurity, of stained type of society. Society filled, racked with evil. This will spread over the entire world. The Gemara says as a pasuk, we speak about one of the worst things that could happen. Leprosy, which is fatal. Leprosy strikes a person, chas v'shalom, he becomes tummy. Tummy because he is a leper. Now, if this leprosy spreads, especially if leprosy means the skin turns snow white, that skin turns snow white, it's a sign that he is tummy. Aside from the fact that it's a fatal disease, he is tummy and must be removed from the camp of the Jews. If there are white hairs that form within this small circle of leprosy, very small item, it could be the size of a quarter, or less even, that person is tummy and has leprosy. If that slight small circle increases, expands in size, it too is a sign of tum'ah. It is a sign that he definitely has contacted leprosy. This must be determined by the Kohen, Kohen Gadol, whom this person's leper visits. There are special examinations given by the Kohen to determine something that is so vital, so important to the life of this person. So the Torah tells us that if there are white hairs that grow in it, or if this speck expands, if it increases in size, that person is tummy. Very sad report, a sad decision. It's like a doctor telling the patient that he has a terminal cancer. However, the Torah says, if this white leprosy spreads, not just over the small area, but it spreads completely over the entire body of the person, from head to foot, that person is pure. He is cured, he is pure, this will peel instantly, will come out a new person. This is the symbol of the moment of Mashiach's coming. Leprosy is fatal. A small drop, a small bit of this evil that can do so much harm, that we should fear so much. Yet this evil will spread like a cancer. It will cover cities, states, countries, whole societies, and it spreads throughout the entire world. And it seems that it is completely hopeless the world ever to emerge out of this problem. At that moment of complete darkness, everything turns so dark and so black, at that moment the greatest light will shine. There will be a declaration, Tohor Hu. The world is now pure. Mashiach will come now to reveal the purity of the world, to remove this cover, this evil covering, and start over with the beauty, the radiance of the Jews, the Torah, truth, the truth coming forward to rule once more and to rule forever, to eradicate all these evils. The Gemara says too that at the time of Mashiach's coming, as we said, there'll be a decrease in the study of Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, and also there'll be a decrease in wealth, it would seem, in wealth. The wording is that Mashiach will not come until the last penny will be gone from one's wallet. A person will not have a penny in his wallet, the pruta. Now, the Rashash explains this in a beautiful sense. He says, in our time, the people are wealthy. They've got a lot of money. Does that mean they forget about Mashiach because we have money? He says this refers to our time. Time of inflation, people have a lot of wealth, and this means that a penny is worth nothing. You look in a person's wallet, he'll never carry a penny with him. It reaches a stage where a penny won't count at all. They'll throw out these pennies. That's a definite sign of Mashiach's coming. Or even, it's even an insult to give a poor person a penny as a charity bit. People will not even stoop to give a penny, and a poor person will not stoop to take it or give him more than that. This is the definite sign of Mashiach's coming. And this is these are the signs that we witness today. You've seen this throughout, and with these signs we are additionally certain, if we can use that word, more certain than we are. Of course, we've always been certain. We are to this moment that Mashiach is coming now. For those who are skeptics, here is the proof, one that is made for skeptics only. We'll continue this topic later on to show that these items too, there are more items to add to this, but as far as we are concerned, in true emunah, in true faith, we are ma'amin b'emunah shlema. Mashiach is coming now. We'll be zechut to see with our eyes a rebuilding of the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, the emerging of the glory of the Am Yisrael, Bapitaydas Yisrael, but Hashem, as Melech al Kol Haaretz. Amen.
Amen.